Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air everywhere as we bloviate all weekend long, even on a Sunday. A Sunday fun day. We welcome you into the magic world of podcasting. Another edition of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. Because, hey, listen, 4 hours a night, 5 days a week, clearly not enough. It is a labor of love, as we say. And I hope you heard the podcast on Friday with Jerome Drenovich. Love that. It's great. And I do recommend it. 5 stars. I'm a little biased. And then on Saturday, the Revenge of the Nerds. I hope you enjoyed my embarrassment, my shame, my indignity from my bifocal mistake. It wasn't really my mistake. It was just some things went against me on that. So you can hear the Saturday podcast and now the Mailbag podcast. And for the first time this weekend, he got his contract redone. The man only works one podcast a week. He's back.
That's good, man.
David, I've noticed, David Gascon, you come on here for the mail. You like the mailbag. You enjoy the mailbag. I noticed that.
I like it, but I feel like we've been let down. I feel like we were ambushed last week with some great material from one of the opiners, and then he didn't pay it off.
Yeah, well, we will get to that in the mailbag.
I'm a little disappointed.
Alf did send some.
We spent an hour talking about fucking carnival food.
I know. And I was so hungry. I was on a 72-hour fast, and I went out and I ate a big meal, and I thought, boy, this is good, but this ain't good like the Springfield, State Fair there or whatever it is, the county fair. Anyway, all right, let's get right to the mailbag, Gascon. Right to the mailbag. We don't have a ton of time, so we must move the show along, expedite the show. First mail comes from Alan. By the way, all this email, before we give you the email, all of it comes either via email, realfifthhour@gmail.com, spell out fifth, F-I-F-T-H, realfifthhour@gmail.com, or on Facebook, typically Tuesday, sometime in the morning, I will post a link on the show Facebook page, which is Ben Maller Show. And you can post there. It's like mom and apple pie. And you can post or you can email if you want to keep your question private. And the surprise factor, that works as well. All right. Alan from Akron writes and he says, did you net enough on the sale of the most recent Maller Mansion to recover what you lost when you took Looney's real estate advice back in the day? And Alan, you cannot see me, but I am shaking my head passionately. No, I have not. I did buy the Maller Mansion, the original Maller Mansion, at the peak of the housing market before the bubble burst. Now, the housing market has gone back up, and so I'm getting closer to the break-even point, but even all these years later, what has it been, 12 years or something like that, 13 years, I still am still in bad shape, but thanks to Looney. And if you want, I can give you Looney's number and you can call him up and he can give you all the information you want. You can tackle Looney and he'll help you out. All right, next up, Jay in Duluth says, Ben, I know we got a picture of beer drinking Brian and a half pint, but I would love to see some of the other callers send in pictures also. You hear us, Tammy in Montana and Regina in Minnesota and some of the other interesting callers you get. An image in your head of what they should look like, but it never is quite what you think it is. Love the show. Been listening all 4 hours every night since 2011. Well, thank you, Jay. And I don't really want to know what everyone looks like. To me, the magic of radio is that we don't know. You think you know, you don't know. Now, you have an idea what Phylexis, America's favorite drag queen caller, looks like, but you really don't know. I've seen Cowboy in Windsor. There's a few of the listeners I've met over the years. Robbie the Mariner fan I met, Jay Scoop, guys like that. But a lot of them I've never met, and sometimes I've met them, and then I'm like, whoa, I can't believe that. Like, what is that all about? Some of the meetings. But, yeah, I mean, we could do that, Jay, at some point. But I like the veil, the incognito nature of radio. We're all the same. You know, you can't see anyone, what they look like. You can't really goof on them for what they look like. Although we managed to do that because some of the guys tell everyone what they look like. Like Robbie the Mariner fan gets a lot of fat jokes because he, you know, people know what he looks like. So anyway, all right. Fred in Spring, Texas writes in, says, do either of you still have friends from grammar school or high school? Yeah, I'll go first. I have one friend from elementary school, and I have one friend. My friend from elementary school lives in Dallas, and I have a buddy of mine from high school I played football with, that my buddy Hunter, who's a gambling buddy of mine, and that's it. I don't know anyone else other than those fake Facebook friends, Gascon. But I don't really count that because I don't really know those people. I just see them post pictures of their kids and their dogs, and I don't really know them.
Yeah. What about you? I have like a good solid seven guys that I'm friends with from elementary and high school. Part of the reason though is because we played football in grade school, then high school, and then half of us either went to San Diego State or the other half went to University of San Diego. So like we've been friends, and then on top of that, don't forget, like, you know, most of these guys that you're friends with are also part of like fantasy football leagues, so we've been in the same league for at least 20 years. Kind of depressing, yeah, to say, but yeah, that's a couple of them. Yeah,
you remain in touch. You are more social. You're, yeah, more social than me, and I like to block all that out. I didn't really enjoy educational process. I was not a fan of
who did.
You're really social. It's great. You get to hang out with your buddies and all that. But I just wanted to get out of there. I couldn't wait to get a job and start working somewhere and get the hell out of school. All right, next up. Yeah, for real. I'm serious. Like I hated the bullshit. I could not stand the bullshit at school. And I also didn't like getting up early. I hated having to get up early. Now, when I went to Saddleback and I did the college thing, I didn't have to get up early because you schedule your classes for later in the day. But I remember the radio classes were in the morning, and that pissed me off. But I did show up. All right, Christian from Miami Beach writes in and says, Ben, answer me here if you can. Did you and Captain Kirk ever make up? You're my guy, and I'm riding with you, but... Yeah, well, Captain Kirk at age 90... Bill Shatner going to outer space. So to answer the question, Christian, there was a come to Jesus meeting, a let bygones be bygones situation, and it was orchestrated by a member of the Star Trek fan base, the Trekkies. And what happened, well, this is so wonderful. William Shatner, who loves horses, he's got a place over here, I think in Burbank, I believe he's got a horse thing. Anyways, in SoCal. So Shatner has a charity to help horses that are like injured horses or something like that. Anyway, I forget what all the details are. So he has this charity auction, and one of the items on the auction, hand to God, I'm not making this up, is you can donate money to this equine charity, and William Shatner was going to unblock me on Twitter. And it was like hundreds of dollars, and some dope, I don't know who this was, not a fan of mine, but was upset that the Maller Militia guys were busting the balls of Shatner, and he was getting upset, and he was becoming flustered by the back and forth. So somebody pulled out their checkbook and wrote a check to Shatner, and he unblocked me. So I am unblocked by William Shatner, but there was a bounty put on that, and somebody paid a ton of dough to pave the way for that to happen. So, but there's a lot of good, as we said, Gascon, a lot of good foot soldiers that lost the relationship with Shatner. They were blocked in the heat of war, fog of war. Are you blocked by Shatner?
No, no. I've never been blocked by him. He's a great man. Well, I would never do anything in disrespect to him either.
That proves you're not a real member of the Mallet Militia. That's it right there. Proves it right as we suspected. All right, next up. Next up, Blake in Arkansas. Hello, Blake. Blake's the Amazon return oligarch.
Yeah.
And he says, we talked about this. I actually would love to do this if we can come up with the money here. He says, wherever you get a ton of square footage for cheap, he says. He says he didn't even lay the floor at his place in Arkansas. He also points out you can order on this Amazon return thing. You can order bigger items, smaller items.
Yeah.
So he claims, again, this sounds too good to be true, Guest Gun, so I'm always a little concerned by this, but he claims you're doubling your money. You pay $25,000 for a truck, and you bring in $50,000.
Mm.
Like, if this was the case, and I'm not saying Blake's lying. Blake, I hope we did get the hats, by the way, Blake. I guess, Scott, have you been into the office? Have you been in and gotten your hats yet?
No. You got them?
Yeah. Talk to Coop. I don't know where he put them, but I got my hats, and I wore my Arkansas Razorback hat in honor of Blake the other night when I was back in my home studio.
Does it fit?
Yeah, it fits. The other ones don't. With the Negro League hats don't, but that one fits. So if we had a way, if that was guaranteed, what Blake's saying, 25 grand into 50,000, then why wouldn't we just go out and take a $25,000 loan, invest the 25, boom, we got 50. And then we take 25, we take 25 out, 25, the rest of the 25, buy another load, and then just keep making money hand over fist.
Right.
Oh, God, I want to do that. I could get out of radio. I could live a normal life. Be like Jerome Jurenovich. Anyway, next up, Matt in Mansfield, Texas writes in. He says, if they raided overnight gas bags and blowhards with war, what would your score be? He asks. Well, it would be douchey of me to answer that. Gascon, what do you think my war would be? You understand the war statistic? Are you on Fangraphs over there keeping track of the war statistic?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think because you like working. Yeah, but you like you like working the overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. I do.
So it would be hard because there's only like a couple hosts that work those same hours as you, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who's on when I'm on. I mean, they're a bunch of hacks, so I don't really worry about that. Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Tunnel vision, Gaskin. That's what I have, tunnel vision. I don't worry about the others. I don't. I would say my wins above replacement would be like Trey Turner level, I would say.
It's good. Take that.
Better in the regular season than the playoffs, I've noticed Trey Turner.
A little bit.
Thank you, Matt, in Mansfield, Texas. Carlos in Bang Bang, Houston. He says, Ben, when did you start playing the song All About the Benjamins at the top of each hour? It gets me every time. Also, it sounds a little cliche, but can you do the good, the bad, and the ugly of the NFL Sunday in hour two or three? Not to suck up to you, but you are one of the few guys whose opinions I respect. Also, how did the Mallet Militia start and who started it? All right, so as far as the first part of that, Carlos, we typically on Sunday nights start with the Sunday night game, unless it's a dog food game. We'll start with the Sunday night game, and then we work our way through block by block the good, the bad, and the ugly of the NFL weekend. But if you want, I can try tonight. I can try to do that in hour two. But it's a little different now because the baseball playoffs are going on. We've got the Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. I'm sure that'll be at some point a monologue. I can't ignore it, but it is an NFL Sunday. It might not be a full Mallet monologue, depending on how it goes. And as far as the Mallet Militia, you misspelled militia. Bad job by you, Carlos. But that started in the early 2000s at Fox Sports Radio, and you can thank a caller who wasn't really a caller. He would call up occasionally to play the game shows, but he was mostly just a guy that would send me text and email. This guy named Jihadist John Michigan. And the guy was a legend. Loved the guy. Very eccentric, quirky guy. And it was his idea. It was his baby, Jihadist John. And he had to change his name because I think it was about 2008, 2009, something along those lines. There was an ISIS terrorist that would chop people's heads off in the Middle East, and his name, the media called him Jihadist John. So I remember when that happened, Gascon, because I was getting people who were going through my Twitter, and I'd mentioned Jihadist John randomly because that was his name on the show. Mm-hmm. What is this all? You know, somehow connecting, like I'm. It was ridiculous, but anyway, John just quit the show. He quit sports. He said, if I remember correctly, as I understand it, Jihadist John, he said if the teams he likes don't win by the time he was 40, he was going to stop following sports.
Oh, wow.
And he's a Michigan sports fan, and he actually did. He just gave up sports. He was a big sports radio fan. In fact, fun fact, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but Jihadist John in those days, friends with another solid Maller militia guy, Carlos, the guy known as Funhouse on Twitter, you know, the guy that sends out the videos and all that. He's an old Maller militia guy in New York. And he was friends with Jihadist John. They were some of my listeners back in those days.
So, wow.
They came up with the Maller militia. All right, next up, Andy the Hobo. Hollywood adjacent, he says, right near that Tommy's where I would spend many a night in the parking lot at 3:30, 4 in the morning eating the chili cheese fries, the triple chili cheeseburger, and washing it down with a lemonade. And watching the people that were all walking around like zombies in the parking lot there after clubbing all night on the Sunset Strip. Anyway, he says, so is the studio deep in the North Woods when you're at the new Maller Mansion and merely in the North Woods when at Fox Sports Radio's Sherman Oaks Studios or elsewhere? Inquiring minds want to know. Yeah, you know, I'm known as the North Woods guy now, so I have to say some version of the North Woods. But when I'm in the home studio, I'm definitely deep in the North Woods. When I'm in Sherman Oaks, I am. How would you describe Sherman Oaks, Gascon? It's a hodgepodge, surprisingly high number of homeless people.
Yeah.
In Sherman Oaks, you don't see them during the day, but at night you see them. I don't know where they go during the day, but when we're there at night, there's a lot of them. Feel bad for the folks. They don't have a place to stay, but it's crazy. So, yeah, Sherman Oaks is interesting. And Annie, do you have an answer, Gascon, by the way?
I was going to say, like, it's really different. I mean, day to night, it's wild because it looks nice, it looks clean, and all of a sudden you just turn out the lights, and then the bars and people are leaving, and then, there's just homeless people. There's a couple tents that are out. There's just...
Yeah. And that is... That area of the San Fernando Valley is the stolen car capital of Los Angeles, I was told, because the 405 and the 101 freeway interchange right there.
Yeah.
And so those blocks right around the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's a gold mine if you're into stealing cars, because you can steal a car and be on the 101 or the 405 within a minute, less than a minute. You're on the freeway, you're gone. And then from there, you can spur off to one of the other freeways within 5 minutes, right? You can go down
the 10,
to the 10, 134.
105.
Which direction you go. So you can really just get away fast, giving advice if you want to steal cars. Also, he says, please bring back the Go King Eddie drop for hockey season. He says he's digging Benny versus the Penny again this year. So thank you, Andy. That is up to Roberto. He is the keeper of the drops, Roberto.
Yeah.
I think Dan sent this one. This is a question for you, Gascon. He says, if most of the people left are not vaccinated and most of those people are Republican or anti-vaxxers, why does Joe Biden care whether they get vaccinated or not? It's the third rail, my man. It's the third rail. Go ahead, Gascon.
It's like the righteousness, right? There are people, for better or for worse, that think they're like the moral high ground because they're doing this, and ultimately it's all hypocritical because they think that they're doing this not only for themselves but they're doing this for like the mass population, they're doing this for the wellness of everybody, when in reality, it's like if you were that truly genuine, you would be doing other things in your life that have a positive impact on society. And for all intents and purposes, I hate saying this, the cynic in me, but you think about celebrities and athletes and politicians, the only reason they donate money to charity is because it gives them some tax sheltering. It's not because they're actually doing it out of the goodness of their heart. And then on top of that, there's nothing like giving away time for worthy causes as opposed to money. Any asshole can write a check, but it's like you put in time for any kind of honorable service that's given back to the community. Then that really puts your obviously the way that you are to the test, like that moral high ground that you kind of elevate to the masses. So I don't know, man. To each its own.
I would answer it differently. I mean, to me, it's these, and I've been around some of these people over the years. I've been in the media business, been around some of these people, and they think of the normal folk, the hoi polloi, as they were raised by wolves, and they're cavemen and carnivores and knuckle draggers and all of those things, and so they have to help them out. But you're absolutely right on the charity thing, and this is something I bring this up. Every time an athlete does something for charity and then proceeds to run to ESPN to get it promoted, or you know what I mean, and people think I'm bitter and all this stuff, but the charity, like the good mitzvah thing, charity should be done anonymously. I believe that. I do this rant all the time, and I was raised this way, and I believe I was raised properly. That. It is, it's my belief that the value of a donation is reduced if you receive praise for it.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the way I was raised, that you should do good things for people, but not to get the attention. You should, because if you give anonymously, that guarantees that your donation, your motivation was purely altruistic. Because there's no chance of you getting acknowledged. None. But if you do it so you get your name on a building or something along that, well, you're okay. You have a different look on that.
So. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Moving on. Thank you, Dan. Pierre from Springfield writes in. He says, I only have one question. Have you secured a remote studio in Augusta, Georgia? The general area so you can continue to broadcast during your master's trip. No, Pierre. I did run that by my wife, though, and she was not – totally against it, but I did look at the calendar, and I have a trip in March. I have to miss a few shows. I have to go to North Carolina. My sister-in-law is getting married in North Carolina, so I have to go there. So I don't know that my wife will be cool with me going to North Carolina, flying back to Cali, and then 2 weeks later flying back to Georgia. So I don't know that's gonna work, but I would love to do that at the Masters. That would be cool. He also says, Pierre, aka Alf the Alien Opiner, Ben, I'm trying not to derail or hijack the podcast as I did last week.
Too late.
The introvert in me, as well as the fact that I'm extremely frugal, swayed me from tackling the masses at the Big E. Much to my stomach's dismay, Alf says, I am sure that you and your sidekick are extremely disappointed in me. Yeah. So we spent 20 minutes talking about food at the Big E, and he didn't show. He says, but fear not, I am providing you with a Facebook link to the establishment that my wife and I chose to eat our cheat meal at. And by cheat meal, I mean ice cream. And he says, there's a link here. You can't see it, Guest Gun, because we're on a podcast, but he says, if you will drive down a rabbit hole of ice cream porn, this establishment serves what are called ice cream bombs. Not wanting Big Brother to come knocking by spelling them word out. He says, my chocolate and roll, what is this? He says, my wife and I each had a Reese's peanut butter bomb. It consisted of vanilla soft serve with peanut butter core, which is then dipped in chocolate and rolled in crushed peanut butter cup and served in a waffle cone, but not one waffle cone, two. Well, that sounds good. With with innermost waffle cone having been dipped in chocolate. And he did send a picture here. I'm looking at it. He says, as soon as the sports book is legalized in Massachusetts, you'll need to plan a Big E. Ice cream and leaf peeping meet and greet. Well, I would love to come back. You know, I love Massachusetts, Alf, and I haven't been there in a couple of years, and I would love to come back and hang out with the natives. That does look pretty good. My favorite ice cream dessert, Gascon, we've been through this before, is I'm a traditionalist. I like the two chocolate chip cookies and then the big, thick, double scoop ice cream in the middle, and it is just wonderful. It's my favorite dessert. I'm very simple. I'm a simple man. But you said, Alf, does not sound bad. The Reese's peanut butter bomb. My wife loves peanut butter. She would love that even more than me.
Yeah.
But that looks really good. And again, Alf, I'm on a fast here, and now I'm going to have to go out and eat, and I'm going to think of that. I'll have to get ice cream somewhere. Vahid, I believe, our buddy from New Orleans, he writes in. He says, Ben and David, he says, for Ben, have you ever earned the rest of your $20 from the video game app? No. No. What a scam. What a scam. That word game that I was playing, I gave up. I moved on. What am I playing these days? I'm playing Tetris. That's my new Mishigas. A lot of I love. Yeah, I'm old school. Flashing back to my younger days, it's simple. I can play a game in 3 minutes, and you know, there's a bunch of commercials, but I don't care. I gave up. I realized that anything that offers you money by playing is bullshit, and I'm not playing those games anymore. Who else do we have? Let's see. Page down. I think this is from Adrian. In the Mile High City, he says, Ben, I ride my bike to and from work every day. By the way, Adrian, I did get your hats. One of them does fit. The other one does not, unfortunately. So I'll give that one to Gascon next time I see him. But thank you. He gave me one of his work hats, so I got to wear that. You got to remember to wear that. He says, I bike to and from work every day as long as the weather is good in Colorado. During my ride home from work Friday afternoon, the chain fell off the track on my bike as I was pedaling. The pedal continued its rotation and smashed into the back of my calf, and my foot got caught in between the pedal and the ground. As you might imagine, this was quite painful. And Adrian tells the story. He toughed it out there, and his son had a football practice. That's good dad. Good doting father. You got to take care of the kids, go to football practice. And he sat through the football practice. The pain grew worse. By the time he got home, he pulled the shoe and the sock off and found that his foot and big toe was the size of what he thinks Lizzo and Bartolo Colon's foot would look like. And he did say here, Gascon, he finally tapped out. He said no mas. His wife took him to the emergency room, and he thought his right big toe was broken in the accident because it was swollen, but x-rays were negative. But they told him he had significant damage to the cartilage around his big toe, and so the doctor recommended taking a week of rest, ice, and elevation. And so he emailed me. He took a photo here. His foot is elevated in the air everywhere, ice pack wrapped around it. That's not good. And he says, have either of you ever injured your foot toe similar to what I have done?
Yes.
I have. I've injured my toe, not on a bike, but I've often had shoes that didn't fit right because I have big feet. And my toes have been all black and blue. I've lost several big toenails that have had to fall off because of how bad I treat my toes over the years. And when I go to get a mani and I go into the mani-pedi place, they look at me and they give me the death stare. But anyway, so feel better, Adrian, limping around the Mile High City. You had a similar issue too?
Yeah, to Adrian? I actually, I got busted toe and a busted ankle in a car accident, and it was brutal to walk on. And I had to try playing in a football game 4 days later. It was like I had a cinder block attached to that foot. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's not good. Let's see. Who do we have? Jonathan the Jailer. John the Jailer. I think that's what we call him. In Pennsylvania. He says, my daughter Riley, junior Mallard Militia member, is currently taking up the flute. Have you ever played an instrument? If so, do you have any advice? I was in the band in elementary school, but I played I forget the name of the instrument. What is the biggest instrument in the it's like a violin, but it stands up, and you got to be tall. And I did play an instrument, but I pretty much was in the back, and I just was there. Everyone else knew what they were doing, and I just kind of pretended like I knew what I was doing. That's it. And I think we're out of time, so we will not have a chance to get to Kevin in Kansas, my man Vols fan Jimmy, Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia, and James in Greensboro. Thank you all for submitting questions, but Gascon's got places to go, things to do, and things and whatnot. So, well, I would keep going, Gascon. I mean, you have to go, right? I mean, I'm not wrong in that. I mean,
yes.
It was up to me. We keep going. But anyway, have a great rest of your Sunday. I'll be back in the Magic Radio Box tonight, talking football and even a little baseball. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll catch you then.